Give me your attention for just a moment. We're going to do something very special. Many of you love our teaching from Israel. And some time back, we were able to go to Israel to the traditional site of the Garden Tomb, where Christ was buried and raised from the dead. It is one of my favorite places in Israel. The inspiration of God struck me as I was ministering to our tour group, and I want you to hear that message. It's very powerful. I did not know it, but there was a young man there that was part of the Garden Tomb that gave us a testimony. So at the end of the message, he's going to give you this astonishing testimony. You've got to hear this. And always remember, at the end, we come back and share a brand new product with you, something that is very interesting that's going to help your growth in the Lord. And we also share with you some of the places we're going to be coming to. I love taping in Israel, and you're going to really enjoy this teaching from the Holy Land in the Garden Tomb. Listen to this powerful message and testimony. I'm going to share briefly, just a few moments, a message with you on what you didn't know about the resurrection. All right, let us go to the moment where in the morning the women are coming to the tomb. Now you have an image of a tomb. You have an image of where the rolling stone was. Their problem was, how do we move the stone? That stone weighed 2 tons. It took a group of men to move it. When they got here, the stone has been moved. When they look, they realize that he is not there. Now, something strange happens in that Jesus appears with clothing on, but when he was buried, he did not have clothing on, maybe but a loincloth. The shroud is still in the grave. The face napkin is still wrapped up in the tomb. Where did Jesus get the garments he was wearing? And why did she think that he was a gardener? A gardener would have worn 4 garments, pants, linen pants, perhaps, and then he would have wore a garment over top of that, a belt to tie it together, an upper garment, lower garment, let's say it that way. And he would wear, and you've seen it in the Arab world here, the headdress that covers it with the headband. Why is it important to understand her thinking he's a gardener? Because the Bible says that the high priest in the Old Testament would take off his 8 garments of beauty and royalty to put on the Day of Atonement, 4 linen garments. And those linen garments are linen pants that go to the ankles. Then it is a linen robe that attaches to the top, that covers the top part of the body with long sleeves, a belt, a linen belt that's tied in knots, several types of knots in the front, and the headdress that covers the hair because of not allowing sweat to go into the blood, mixing of the blood. So he has come out with a garment on she is not familiar with, and it would, in my opinion, be a priestly garment. And then the second thing that's different about him is his appearance. She didn't recognize him. How do you go from seeing someone and knowing someone for 3.5 years or 3 years, however long it may have been, and suddenly they've been gone 3 days and they come back and you don't even know who they are? They don't look familiar. Was it the dress? No, I'm going to tell you what it was. It was the hair. Because Jesus, being Jewish, would have had dark hair. But when she sees him, he has white hair. I can prove to you from Revelation chapter 1 that Jesus had hair white like snow. I met a man one time that had dark hair. The next time I saw him, he was totally gray. His name was Rupe. You know what happened to him? Late at night, he was driving down a road and came across a railroad track, and a train was in the track. He didn't see it and came within 4 inches of hitting it. And within a week, he was totally gray-headed. Wow. It's a rare event that happens under extreme stress. And I, you know, hairdressers can explain it probably better than I can, but it's very rare. Jesus had gone through so much physical trauma that it changed how he looked. That's why she didn't recognize him.
Yeah, glory.
Oh, my God. But when he spoke, Mary, she'd heard that voice 1,000 times. Mary, 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 help me. Mary, can you? Mary, And it was not what he looked like. It was the voice.
Yes, yes, thank you.
And when she heard the voice, she said, "My Lord, Rabboni, teacher." And then he says something strange in John's gospel. "Do not touch me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But you go tell my disciples I ascend." That statement is a mysterious statement when you break it down. Because number one, he says it in the Greek tense, "I'm about to do it," not 40 days from now. He did not mean 40 days from now, telling him I'm ascending. He's saying you're interrupting something. He has garments on she's never seen him on. Where did the garments come from? They weren't in the tomb. Joseph didn't leave them there. They were brought by those two angels because they were the garments reserved for the high priest of heaven. Because he was about to go back to heaven and enter into the holy place. I'm going to preach it to you. With his blood and sprinkle it on the sacred furniture of heaven. And he had to have priestly garments on that came from heaven. She could not touch him because on the Day of Atonement, you could not touch the high priest because of defilement. Now, the Greek says, "Delay me not, for I have not yet ascended, but go tell him I ascend." Now, watch what happens. She then leaves, right? And later, Peter and John come to the tomb, and of course, they see it empty as well. Paul says in the book of Hebrews, I want to paraphrase this. He said, Christ did not enter into the holy place made with hands. That's the temple here. But heaven itself. And it tells you that not by the blood of goats and bulls, that was here, earthly, but by his own blood, he entered into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. And then he starts talking about the blood of sprinkling on the furniture in the tabernacle in the temple. You must understand that the Ark of the Covenant, the real one, not the one that Moses built, the real one's in heaven in Revelation 11, verse 18. There was seen the Ark of the Covenant. The menorah, not the one Moses built, but the one he patterned after, was in heaven, Revelation 1, 7-branch candlestick. The golden altar, not the one that Moses built in the tabernacle, but the one that he saw, that he said, "I patterned it after what I saw in the vision," is in heaven in Revelation 8. And the original sin did not start in the Garden of Eden. The original sin started before man was created by an angel named Lucifer that rebelled and took a third of the angels with him. And that's the reason why for 4,000 years under the Old Testament, people, when they died, went down to the bowels of the earth. That's the reason why they went down. That's the reason why in Luke 16, there was hell for the unrighteous. There was Abraham's bosom for the righteous. And men could not go to heaven because the tabernacle, the furniture of the sacred temple in heaven had to be purified with blood, Paul said, but not with animal blood. And heaven had no blood to sprinkle that furniture because God is a spirit and angels are spirit. And in the beginning was the Word and He was spirit, but the Word became flesh. And the reason the Word had to become flesh, it is flesh that has blood, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And the reason that He had to be crucified is the blood had to come out of His body and it had to be presented. I don't know who did it, who took it there, if Christ did it Himself, if an angel did it, but there was blood that was taken to heaven and Christ with His own blood began to sprinkle, just the way the Old Testament priests did, every piece of furniture in heaven. And that's where he said this. He said, "I go prepare a place for you. You listen to me." He was not going to build a mansion because he later said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." Greek present tense. New Jerusalem was already created before Jesus ever came to this planet. The mansions were already there before he ever came. And when Jesus said, "I go prepare a place for you and I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself," the fact was man had no access to heaven before Jesus was resurrected. The fact is everybody who died, their soul and spirit had to go to the bottom of the earth or the center of the earth to a chamber down there. But when Jesus died on Calvary and 3 days kicked the bottom out of the grave, there was seen walking the streets of Jerusalem many of the saints and of God. He took the souls and the spirits of all righteous for 4,000 years that had been confined to the bowels of the earth. He brought them out by his resurrected power. We do not know when they went to heaven, but I have the feeling that when he said, "I have not yet ascended," that somewhere somewhere between the time he got up and the time he saw Mary and the time he ascended, he is, according to Paul, the first fruits of the resurrection. So he had to take those first people that were raised under him and present them to the Heavenly Father as the first fruits in heaven. And do you know why you got to have first fruits? Because when you have the first fruits and you take the first fruits out of the field, the rest of the field is sanctified. What that means is this, that when Jesus, I feel like preaching now, that when Jesus went down there into the bowels of the earth and took those righteous saints out, there would be millions of saints after them. But when he took that first fruits out and presented them to God, he sanctified the rest of the graveyard. And here's what he was saying. I got the first fruits and brought them out of the heart of the earth. But in 2,000 years, there's going to be hundreds of millions of more people that's going to come up out of that grave because I've sanctified the grave. And now because I live, you shall live also. That's what it was about. So what happened was, heaven was not tainted by sin in the fact that it affected God nor the angels, but it was affecting our approach to God. A priest had to do it for us. A priest for 1,500 years had to approach God for us. One man only on the Day of Atonement. But when Jesus died and sprinkled his blood on the instruments of the altar, he said, now I'm the priest because my blood is here. And because my blood is here and I'm the priest, you don't have to go through a man on earth anymore. You come on up to my presence. I've opened my house for business. The veil is torn. Come on into my place. So I'm going to give you one more nugget. Then we're going to have communion here, I hope, in a minute. And that nugget is this. Jesus is standing on the right hand of the Father. We know that because the scripture tells us. So there's the throne of God. There is God the Father who sits upon the throne. And there is the Lamb that John said that had the seven eyes and the seven horns. Picture the Lamb of God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. That's the Messiah. That's the Word made flesh. That's Jesus Christ who is on the right hand of the Father. The reason he's on the right hand is the right hand is the sign of power. The right hand is the sign of authority. This is the reason why at the Last Supper, John is seated on his right side, because your favorite person was always on your right side. And it was John that leaned up against Jesus' breast. And the reason you lean against somebody's breast is to hear their heartbeat. And the reason John never left the crucifixion is because he already heard his heartbeat before he ever got to the cross, because being leaning on his breast at the Last Supper. But oh, God help me, I feel like I'm going to cut loose here. We know we're not going to get out of this place if you don't help me, somebody.
Come on now.
So here's the interesting thing. On the Day of Atonement, a priest could not sit down until he was finished with atonement. So he had to stand the entire day, and he had to sprinkle the blood 43 times on different things, on the altar, the menorah, the candlesticks. And then when he was finished sprinkling the blood, he sat down. The Bible said Christ is now sat down, seated. What that means is atonement's completed. Redemption is finished. It's a finished. All you have to do is apply redemption because it's already been finished. But something interesting happens when Stephen is being stoned. Stephen prays a prayer of forgiveness, but not for himself, but for the people. He said, Lord, forgive these men. Remember he's being stoned? Do you know why Jesus had to say, forgive them, God, because they don't know what they do? Because how can he be the high priest and forgive people, forgive us of our sins, if he was not willing to forgive his enemies? You're going to get that in a minute. So he says, forgive them, because he knows I have to show my people what it means to forgive the worst of their enemies. They have slain me. They've killed me. They spat upon me. They've crucified me. But I forgive them because they don't even know what they're doing. But notice what happens when he was willing to forgive. A centurion gets saved. Notice what happens when Stephen's willing to forgive. Saul of Tarsus gets saved. Something happens when you're willing to forgive your enemy. You might just get your kids saved when you forgive your enemy. You might just get somebody saved that you don't even know about when you're willing to forgive your enemy. Two conversions happened because two men forgave their enemies. Watch this. This is cool. In heaven, if you were to go to heaven, we're going to go there one day. The throne. Isaiah says, behind the throne of God are doors. John says the doors of the temple were open. Oh, don't give me, Lord, God, help me, Jesus. I wrote a book called Heaven, the Phantom Galaxy, that's coming out in the spring. And I talk about the temple of the tabernacle in heaven. And don't you get me on that. I showed Ron Carpenter the verse. I said, I'm not telling you the message because you'll preach it on TV and take credit for it. He said, my God, I've never heard that. I've never seen it. I said, I'm shutting up now. There's a temple there with all the records in according to the Bible. But in that temple is the Ark of the Covenant. If my theory is correct on what Paul wrote and what John saw, the blood of Jesus is on that ark. Because it had to be on the ark in the Old Testament for there to be atonement. When he saw the blood and the priest had made the atonement, that's how he forgave the people for the next year. The next year they put blood on the ark again. The next year, but once and forever he said his blood is there. Read the book of Hebrews. You'll read what I'm saying is true.
Oh, yes, sir.
He's seated, but Stephen's praying. And a priest, to make atonement, had to get up off his seat and make the sacrifice when the sin offering had to be offered. Track with me now. But since Jesus is the sin offering, he's seated at the right hand of God. But then it says, I see Jesus. Stephen said this, standing on the right hand of God. We think that it was Jesus getting ready to receive the spirit of Stephen, which is very possible and very likely, but it's more than that, because he's asking for God to forgive all these people. Yes. And anytime you pray the prayer of forgiveness, you're going to have the blood involved in the covenant. Yes. And all you got to do if you're Jesus is stand up at the right side of God, turn your head, and you will see the Ark of the Covenant where your blood is. And then forgiveness is applied.
Hey.
And Stephen died. And he didn't realize that Saul of Tarsus, maybe he didn't at the time, he does now, but he didn't realize that his prayer affected a man. That 14 letters of the New Testament would be written, all because he knew how to forgive and he knew the power of the covenant. Today, we take communion. Communion is the body of Christ. It's the blood of Christ. It's a representation of that, of course. So when you drink the fruit of the vine, you are reminded, according to Jesus, of the new covenant of his blood that was shed for you. That's your salvation. But the bread, when you eat the bread, it represents the body of Christ. So there's two parts of the atonement. There's actually body, soul, and spirit, but two main parts of the atonement. One is that the body that was broken for you brings healing to you because the body took the stripes, and by his stripes you healed. And the blood, or the fruit of the vine, as it's called in the New Testament, pure blood of the grape, that represents his blood, which represents your salvation. So when you take communion, you have the atoning, the atonement with God of the blood of Christ saving you, and the bread or the body of Christ that can heal you. So as you take communion today in the garden tomb where he raised from the dead, you can get anything you want in the atoning realm. If you need forgiveness, ask for it. If you need the blood of Jesus to cleanse you, ask for it. But if you happen to need a healing, just say, Lord, you can heal me because you paid the price for me right here. And you rose from the dead to seal it. We're in the garden tomb in Israel, here in the city of Jerusalem. And the brother here, who is now a guide for the people, shared this stunning testimony with me. First time I've met him, I want him to share it directly with you.
Yeah, trying to be short and brief. So I'm the head guide now here at the Garden Tomb in Jerusalem. And that's been a great opportunity. But the reason why I decided to come here is because of you, Perry. Remember like 11 years ago, moving from Italy as a young man and going to the UK to study at the London School of Theology to get my degree in theology. And meantime, I was growing up and following the Manifest videos and podcast and audio and just following on YouTube and just also subscribe to everything that was coming up from the United States, actually. And it was a great opportunity because the very first podcast I was following was actually at the Garden Tomb, and the second one was in the Magdala at the painting in the chapel that you can go there down, and there is this painting of the bleeding woman for 12 years suffering of that disease, and I still remember what you were saying, and that was a turning point for me for my life. So I was waiting for 8 months to see Pastor Perry Stone coming here at the Garden Tomb and enjoy his fellowship. But more than anything, I wanted to bring an encouragement to him, a minister that for so many years have been blessing crowds all over the world. I can see the fruit of it in my life, and the reason and the love for Israel. Now I'm studying biblical Hebrew and going deep into the exegetical work in the Torah and the Tanakh because of Perry Stone. So thank you so much.
I didn't know I'd meet him here. We haven't been here in 3 years, of course, but that is an unbelievable, I mean, it's just incredible blessing to help us to see that the people that we reach that we don't ever meet. But it's an honor. What's your name again?
Stefano.
Stefano. Stefano?
Stefano.
Stephen.
Yeah, Stephen.
Oh,
yes, exactly.
Man.
Thank you so much.
You've made my tour.
You made my last 10 years. So that's good.
So thank you for your testimony, and I'm going to let the people know that.
Can I say something?
Yes, yes.
Please, do not stop. Can you continue to do what you're doing? The latest book I bought from you is the two commentaries of the Old Testament and New Testament as the habit. And I enjoy every single moment of this commentary. So people my generation still need you. If you ever thought that God has finished with you, he hasn't. Please continue to do what you're doing, because we need that deep teaching, because I think that we are watering down the gospel. You never done that. So thank you for keeping on the faith.
That's messing with my spirit right now. Thank you for that. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. And thank you so much. Man, I'm just glad I got to meet you. That's made my tour. Okay, that's made my tour. So thank you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. I have something very exciting for you, and I want you to give me your undivided attention. Did you know that the entire code of the Battle of Armageddon is concealed in the story of Gideon in the Old Testament? Did you also know that in the story of Purim and Queen Esther, that the entire tribulation code of what will happen in the tribulation is concealed in that story, in your Bible? What about the Exodus code? There is more to the Exodus than you simply read. When you examine the prophetic code that's concealed in the book of Exodus and the Exodus of the children of Israel to the Promised Land, it's stunning. You've probably heard people talk about the word Maranatha, the Lord cometh. Did you know there is a code in the story of Maranatha, the word, that is found in the scripture? I'm going to also tell you about end time secrets that are concealed in the parables of Jesus. Many of Christ's parables are about the time of the end and his return, and yet some of them never get preached. What about the stunning and amazing Israeli-American cipher? Now, what am I talking about? I'm talking about an audio CD album of six live sermons that deal with the six greatest codes of the Bible. If you know Perry Stone's ministry, you know one thing. I love mysteries. I love biblical codes. I love studying from the Hebrew perspective. And this is an overdose and an overload of information that is absolutely incredible of how the Old Testament stories conceal the future. It can even tell you things that's going to happen concealed in the story. I want to make this six audio CD album available to everybody watching right now. And here's how you get it. The offer number is 6CD-108. And for $30 or more, you can request Breaking Prophetic Codes, this powerful 6 audio CD album. Now here's how you order. You can order by calling 1-888-21-BREAD, which is a toll-free number. Or you can go to perrystone.org and order online. Or write me at Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320, and enclose a check for a donation of $30 or more. And don't forget to request the offer. This is a great offer. If you love prophecy, you're going to overdose on this. You're going to listen to these over and over, because there are mysteries that we're going to unlock in the codes of the Old Testament stories that conceal the future. But don't forget this. You can also purchase digital downloads at perrystone.org. So we want to hear from you today. Order this right now, because it's a now word on prophecy. God bless you. Man, I tell you what, when you see those Israel videos, it makes me want to go back there. And we're planning a trip in 2025. Of course, with all the recent events that happened in late 2023 and 2024, there were some changes. But we have a VIP tour that will be going in November next year. And then we have our regular tour as well. So just kind of keep that in mind. And when the time comes in 2025, we'll be announcing that. We also want to remind you that we're going to be coming to a church in Cartersville, Georgia. That's coming up on the screen right now. And we also are going to be coming to several other churches in November, Lord willing, and probably a few in December, and then we're going to pick our schedule up in January. So this is what's important. You can always go to perrystone.org to itinerary, and you can find out places that we've added at the last minute. And sometimes we add those a week or two before we get there. So we don't want you to miss. How many times have I gone to a town and people would say, "Oh, Perry, we watched your program." And then they would say, "I didn't know you were going to be here. And I had advertised it for 4 weeks." I'm going to tell you what they did. They watched the program and they didn't keep watching like I always tell them to do, because we do our itinerary always at the end of the program. So we want you to know that. Now, a couple things that we do want to make you aware of.
the Lord willing, as we come into the next year of 2025, we will be having a powerful warrior fest. Myself, Nick Walker, Jensen Franklin, my daughter, Eddie James, and Seven Hills Worship Team are going to be coming to Warrior Fest at the end of March. So all of you youth pastors, it's a free event. There's no charge to attend. There's no registration fees. But we will let you know when the time is so that you can get the registration for that. Then at the end of April, once again, we have our International Prophetic Summit. It is one of the highlight meetings of the entire year. We always have Jonathan Kahn opening up and a series and array of speakers that are going to bring you a now word. What's amazing is we do about 13 sessions in 3.5 days. It is an overload of God's word, but man, is it ever worth being here. So we will let you know when that time comes as well. We always ask you not to register just to register, but only register when you know you have rooms that are available and when you know you are coming. Please don't register for anybody else unless you're a youth pastor registering for your entire youth group. We will have some great meetings coming up in places that we've never preached before in the next couple months and, Lord willing, throughout the year 2025. But I also want to make you aware of a few other things. Every Tuesday night, the Omega Center International in Cleveland, Tennessee hosts a Tuesday night service. It starts at 6:30 in the evening. We have a wonderful praise and worship team. We have a great children's church. Now, we don't want to babysit your children, but if you want to bring your children to church where you can enjoy service, and they will love Katie Stone, my daughter-in-law, and her team at the children's church, you bring them on Tuesday night, and they will have a wonderful time. I can assure you of that, absolutely. Every Thursday night, beginning at 6 o'clock East Coast time, we have world prayer that comes across the internet, and you can send your request in. My wife personally goes over all the requests that come in for the world prayer before the prayer meeting begins on Thursday nights at 6 o'clock. I love watching her there for hours. She will sit and read those requests and get them ready to come on the big screen at the prayer meeting. So, just to make a few more quick announcements, we have a great partnership with our ministry, a monthly manna tape message that we send out to those on the monthly manna club and also those in our partner strike force. We have a great partners ministry as well. If you're interested in anything connected to the ministry, the easiest thing to do is go to perrystone.org to get the itinerary, to get the online store, and to get the updates. Now, don't forget to order the 6 messages that we're making available. Great codes, prophetic codes that are being revealed, and they're messages I personally selected for you in this special album that we've put together, and also you can order digital downloads of the audio tapes as well. So all of that information again is available at perrystone.org, Perry Stone Ministries Facebook page. You have to put the word ministries in there, and also all forms of other social media such as YouTube. Thank you so much, and God bless each of you.
Help amplify Perry's message and ministry by joining the Partner Strike Force today. As Perry's partner, you'll be supporting multiple outreach programs from Perry Stone Ministries, including worldwide evangelism, feeding the underprivileged, the Manifest Telecast, creating books and media, prison ministry, and more. As a Partner Strike Force member, you'll also receive special access to premium events and materials, such as our Partner Strike Force website, live-streamed prophetic updates, partners-only tours in Israel, and more. Go to perrystone.org and sign up today.